When your sweetie tells you everything will be okay, I'll just...
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
What radio show is going to give you Cab Calloway on the mornings, right? 1934, Throwback Thursday. Why? Because this is the date of the final round of the first ever Masters Golf Tournament at Augusta National, won by Horton Smith. That's why we do Throwback Thursday the way we do here on Wake Up Call. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Stephanie Stradley joins us, Houston Chronicle. She's also an attorney, kind of to help us with the Deshaun Watson situation. And I said this earlier, a lot of times I do interviews where I'll ask a question, but I kind of know the answer. I kind of want the guest to sort of tell you the answer. But some stories, I don't know what's going on, and I'd love to find out where this is heading. Stephanie, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Good. Thanks for having me on.
So, as I said, I am so ignorant on the legal proceedings of what's happening here. I remember, like, the OJ situation where there was a criminal case, and then later there was a civil case, and he lost the civil case. And this is a civil situation for Deshaun Watson. But in reality, what does that mean? How is it different than if this was a criminal case?
You know, in some ways it's not different, in some ways it is. You know, for any type of assault situation, there's any number of ways that it can interact with the legal system. There can be situations where it's handled privately, that the parties don't want something to become public. And it sounds like in this particular case, that was the first overture that Watson received. And, you know, there is some discussion that not the plaintiff's attorney, but some representative of one of the plaintiffs tried to blackmail him. Then there's other situations where the first interaction is a criminal interaction. And then later there's a civil suit. That's what happened in the O.J. Simpson case. Mm-hmm. There's other situations where the first interaction with the legal system is a civil case. And then later the, you know, criminal folks, they investigated it separately. So there's any number of ways that things happen. And then, you know, frankly, there's lots of sexual assault situations that are never reported. So, like, you know, the thing that makes this situation difficult is, you know, if it's a criminal case only, the person representing the women is the state, and their obligation is whatever justice shows.
Right.
When something is a civil case, the complicating factor is money. You know, both parties say that this is not money. This is not about money. And for people who have been the victim of sexual assault, sometimes money can be helpful in order to deal with some of the issues that they have associated with you know, their situation. Like, you know, the criminal system, if you go through that, it can be very traumatizing. And what do you get at the end of the day? Nothing.
Right.
You might be able to get some victims' rights money. So, you know, this is just a very difficult claim to maintain and to defend. And really where we're at now is just to wait to see where the facts go. Because even this early in a case, for the lawyers, sometimes you don't know all the information.
So I think most people are familiar in a criminal case, right? There's a jury and you get reasonable doubt and the jury has to be in consensus. Is it different in a civil case? What is the burden of proof or the burden of how you get a verdict in a civil case? Is it the same or is it different? Is there a different strategy on how you prove your case and win your case?
Yeah, in the civil context, you have to show things by a preponderance of the evidence. And in a criminal case, you know, civil case means money damages. Criminal case means go to jail.
Right.
In a criminal case, in our country, we have decided that to put somebody in jail, you better know this beyond a reasonable doubt. And so, definitely the standard of proof is different. But even in a criminal case, a woman's testimony by itself is evidence enough to bring a case, bring a case in front of a jury. I mean, right now we know that that the plaintiff's lawyer has said that these cases, or at least some of the cases, may go to the criminal system, and that he's putting a packet together. But we won't know that. We won't know that there's an investigation from the outside. And so, like, I think that's some of the interest of people is, like, what are the issues that Watson is facing right now? And right now it's civil, and that kind of runs out. But there may also be a criminal investigation that we may not fully know about. And then there's also an NFL investigation.
Yeah,
that
right.
even if everything turns out in Watson's favor in the civil litigation, and even if there isn't a criminal litigation, the NFL might still find some conduct that they find objectionable. And because their standard of proof for an NFL investigation is just credible evidence. Is there credible evidence that this happened? And as we determined in the Ezekiel Elliott case,
exactly.
the underlying investigation information that came out showed that the investigator did not believe that the woman was credible, that the woman said that she did not want him punished by the league, and that information was never made in the final report that was given to the decision makers in that particular situation. So the credible evidence standard is incredibly low. The way that the NFL investigations go is you're not entitled to all the evidence that you would in a criminal or a civil case. And so it will be interesting to see how this plays out. In the Antonio Brown situation, he is still under NFL investigation and won a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
So it's hard to see how these things go. I think right now the NFL is in the posture of let's see where the facts go. And I think that is a good posture for all of us to take.
I think a lot of people are seeing this and saying, wow, the numbers keep increasing. It's now last time I checked, it was up to 16 now. But for a civil case, is it all or nothing? Can woman A have a more credible case than woman W? I mean, is it all of these have to be true, or none of this is true?
You know, it's hard. I think that each of the women have very similar types of claims, but we don't know from the outside which claims are good or, like, right now we should assume, you know, from the point of just analyzing this, that all these claims could be true.
Right.
And that, because, you know, that's the stance that we should take for people coming forward about serious charges like that. And that's the original stance. And then the stance we take after, you know, the original reports is to say, where does the evidence lie? And so there's any number of ways that this could work out. Any number of ways. You know, it's remarkable that there are so many cases so quickly and that they were vetted that quickly, because it is very difficult in situations like this to fully investigate cases. Like, this particular situation is what the evidence is, what the women said. And then to fully vet that, you need to look at all the other information. It looks like there is some of that other information, but at the point where we are now, like, we talk about the court of public opinion, right? Yeah. And what I can tell you from high-profile cases that I've been involved in is that the public view of the cases is usually really strange. Like, it doesn't reflect necessarily what's actually going on, but from the lawyer's perspective, there's any number of reasons why you cannot correct that. Ethically, there are some things that you're not supposed to say publicly. And then just from, you know, an investigation perspective, you're still finding things out. But sometimes you just hear stuff that is gossip, and you're like, I don't know where that came from. That doesn't reflect anything involving this case, but people take some information that they hear, make a decision, and then only, you know, say one point of view. And frankly, from what we can see right now, we just need to see where the evidence goes. And some of the evidence will be kind of sound odd, but, you know, human beings are complex.
Sure.
And sometimes things, you know, the evidence doesn't sound necessarily logical when you hear pieces and parts of it, but when you get the full story, it comes together more. And so at some point, maybe we will get the full story, but maybe we won't.
In your experience, what is likely to happen here? Court date? Will he likely settle this? I know we can't, you know, I'm asking you to speculate on something we don't know, but I think people are wondering, is there going to be a trial? Will they just figure this out behind closed doors and in non-disclosed agreement? What is likely the situation with a high celebrity, high personality in this situation where there are a lot of accusations and a lot of people going after him?
Well, it's kind of like what I said earlier. Civil cases, just generally, money drives the bus. But the first statement that Deshaun Watson made was, this isn't about money. This is about my reputation. And the first statement that the plaintiff's lawyer said was, this is not about money. This is about stopping this action. Now, of course, he also said that I'm only pleading the jurisdictional minimums, which you have to do that to get into a court. Like, you have to have enough damage to get into that particular court. But he also pled for punitive damages in all of the cases. Now, punitive damages in Texas are very hard to get, but in some circumstances, they are uncapped. So the liability for multiple claimants could be very, very high. You know, when you're asking me, how will this turn out? There is no precedence for this type of case. I mean, ultimately, if you're talking about just making it go away quicker, yeah, a civil settlement would be the approach. Both lawyers have all the tools in the toolbox. Can they settle cases? Sure. Have they taken difficult cases to trial? Yes, they have. Watson's lawyer was involved with the Roger Clemens case, which had among the highest stakes that you can have. He tried a case in federal court, and in federal court, the stakes are so high when you choose trial, because if you lose, the punishment's very bad. And he, not only did Roger Clemens expose himself to, quote, a perjury trap, but he took that to trial, and his lawyer won.
Yeah.
That's the highest stakes that you can have. What we're talking about right now is unprecedented. Like, these types of cases that have intersecting issues such as criminal law, civil law, employment implications, reputational implications, fame, money, these are among the most difficult and complex cases to handle. And I, you know, as someone who works in this area, I have no idea how it's going to turn out.
Interesting. Stephanie, very enlightening. I really appreciate your time in helping us kind of dissect what exactly this news means. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your insight.
Anytime.
You got it. Stephanie Stradley, again, an attorney and also working with the Houston Chronicle on our Progressive Guest Line. And once again, Progressive quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Some more final thoughts as we continue with Wake Up Call.